Psalm 73. God's word is honest. It's not a cock and bull story. It doesn't hide the difficult stuff from us. Psalm 73 is the confession of a man of God who for a while behaved in a very silly way. In fact, he started thinking like a pagan. And Asaph confesses this to us. It's a warning to us as believers. It's an instruction to us as believers. And it's a word of direction to the unbeliever. Unbeliever, if you're listening to me, listen to Asaph. Asaph has something to tell you. He's long dead, of course. But the way he went can serve as a signal warning to you, a challenge to you, an instruction to you, and you may bless God forever that you listened to Psalm 73. What's Asaph's trouble? Verse 2. As for me, he said, my feet had almost slipped. I nearly lost my foothold. I nearly lost my reason. I nearly went to pieces. Why? Because, he said, I started looking around me and I saw the ungodly, the arrogant, the wicked. And I saw how well they were doing, how prosperous they were. Verse 2, verse 3. I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now actually, what's happening to Asaph is this, that he is now beginning to think. He's now beginning to reason and view the world from the point of view of man, from the point of view of the pagan, from the point of view of the unbeliever. And what he can see as he looks around him is this. They seem to be well, fit, healthy, strong, prosperous, getting on in life. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from the burdens of common to man. They're not plagued by human ills. They're proud. They clothe themselves with violence. They're callous. They're iniquitous. They're evil. They're conceited. They can imagine anything and do anything in their own minds. Verse 8, they scoff, they speak with malice, they're arrogant, they oppress, they're proud in boasting, their mouths lay claim to heaven. Verse 9, their tongues take possession of the earth. And they're popular and they're liked. Their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They get on and on and on. They are arrogant against God. How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? Does God exist? There is no God, and all that kind of talk. This is what the wicked are like. Always carefree. They increase in wealth. Is that true? Of course it's not a claptrap. The ungodly, as much as the godly, suffer, get old, are bereaved, have guilty conscience, fail, stumble, make mistakes. It just appears like this. This is how it seems to Asaph. This is what the ungodly would like it to be. This is how they boast and brag. But the reality is very, very different. And Asaph should realize this. But his mind is clouded. He's not thinking straight. He's not thinking biblically. He's not thinking spiritually. He's looking from the point of view of man. And he goes on, verse 13. From all this, he deduced this. It's been a waste of time, all this spirituality. In vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain I wash my hands in innocence. I've been plagued every morning. I've been punished every morning, every day. What's the point of it? Wrong thinking, wrong viewpoint, wrong assessment leads him into terrible trouble. As for me, My feet, verse 2, had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold when I began to think like this. The turning point comes in verse 15. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. He kept his mouth shut. If he'd started speaking like this, he was thinking it, he was feeling it, it was internal within him, but if he'd opened his mouth and started preaching and teaching like this, I would have betrayed your children and upset them and grieved them and brought them into bondage too. But he really was in turmoil. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. I was in a terrible state. And he's owning this. He's testifying to this for our edification, believer, for our profit. Where is the full solution? I was like this, he said, till verse 17, I entered the sanctuary of God until I began to look again as I should do and reason again as I should do according to God's point of view. Believer, those of us now who are trusting in Christ, we're in the new covenant. We have the full range of Scripture. We have the testimony of Scripture. We have the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the examples and the teaching of the apostles. We have all the Old Testament telling us. All of it is crying out, get your mind set biblically. Think spiritually. Think really, properly. Don't think like the pagans. Don't reason the way they do. What did Asaph discover? What he discovered was this, that the ungodly, though they may seem to get on in this life, are in fact on slippery ground, verse 18. God has set them there. And they will be cast down to ruin. Ruin is on the road for them. Jesus said, unless you repent and believe, you will perish. Perish. Death is on the road. Gadsby, in one of his hymns, said, pause my soul and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Art thou made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Death is on the road, he says, death. How suddenly, says Asaph, verse 19, are the ungodly destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. Khrushchev said, we fired a rocket off, we haven't found God, there is no God. Stupid man to say such a thing. He had the wrong measuring stick. He had the wrong glasses on. He was looking in the wrong direction. His fantasy world is where the ungodly are living. And Asaph, for a while, got into that world. And his mind got into that world. And he started thinking in that way. When my heart, verse 21, was grieved, and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. But he understood now. He went to see what God had told him, and he realized a day of judgment was coming, an answering day, and that this world is the dream world, and the real world is the world to come, the eternal spiritual world. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand, verse 23. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. Nothing to compare. And even all our best companions. Or companion it might be. We don't have many companions. The best are only best because God has made them so for us, believer. My heart, my flesh and my heart may fail. They do, literally. We're aging, dying, infirm. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. We spiritually fail. We are nothing in ourselves, but God is our portion. Those who are far from you will perish. That's the right way to see it. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. I won't tell you of my folly anymore. I will tell you of God and his glory. I missed out verse 1, didn't I, deliberately? Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But for a while, I went into the realm of fantasy with the pagans. Unbeliever, you're in the fantasy world, the dream world. Come into the real world. Maybe this short discourse will bring you to start thinking right, even to bring you to Jesus now and see with open eye, with clear glasses, looking in the right direction, the true reality. This world is a dream, empty show. It's the spiritual world. It's the eternal world that is the real world. And the only world, the only way you get into that world is through faith in Christ, turning from this world, turning to Jesus. Believer, get your mind in gear, into biblical gear, into the God gear, if I may say that. Thinking from the point of view of God, reasoning from the spiritual, God, scriptural point of view. Don't think like the pagan. Don't act like the pagan. Don't reason like the pagan. That is the way of sorrow, suffering, distress, and darkness. I'll close this with a hymn by Isaac Watts. Lord, I am thine, but thou wilt prove my faith, my patience, and my love. When men of strife against me join, they are the sword. The hand is thine. What sinners value, I resign. Lord, 'tis enough that thou art mine. I shall behold thy blissful face and stand complete in righteousness. Now this verse. This life's a dream, an empty show, but the bright world to which I go hath joy substantial and sincere. When shall I wake and find me there? O glorious hour, O blessed abode, I shall be near and like my God, and flesh and sin no more control the sacred pleasures of my soul. My flesh shall slumber in the ground, till the last trumpet's joyful sound, then burst the chains with sweet surprise, and in my Saviour's image rise. Learn from Asaph. Think straight, believer. Think from God's point of view. Think from heaven's point of view. Think scripturally. Get your mind in gear. Envy not the wicked. Unbeliever, come to Jesus. Believer, keep looking unto Jesus. And the day will come when, though this heart and flesh fails, we shall enter into everlasting glory and be with and like Jesus forever and ever.